yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers, but something must have got in us because all of us turned to sinners. Welcome, bienvenue, à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, and a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, October 29, 2025. Goddamn, 2 days away from Thriller Night. I mean, Halloween. If you're into that, to that stuff. You satanic, that satanic shit. Yeah, today's episode is rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. That was your first warning. With that said, I want to send out a great shout out to all you listeners. And sticking with tradition, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. Hope you didn't think about it. Just do it. Now, the reason I like to ask you to applaud yourselves is because if you're my target audience, you're the kind of person who will remember to applaud everyone else except your own self. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, even by mistake, welcome. Yeah, some of you might be here because you thought I was the other Shut Up Podcast. But either way, you're welcome. And here's hoping I say something that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. And ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. If you didn't know, now you know. Today's episode titled 302. The actual title is to be determined, but it will very likely relate to one of the three topics I'm going to cover today: beating yourself up. I didn't give this one up. The illusion. No, I'm going to use the word temporarily being a temporarily embarrassed millionaire, and. How Pierce Brown broke my heart, or may have broken my heart. We'll see. But anyways, I'll explain. But before we, oh shit. All right. Okay. So for all you returning listeners, I kind of remixed it. Usually I do quotes and randomness. Today I'm doing just randomness and a feature thought. All right. So let's start with some randomness, but just a quick reminder, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. All right, let's do this. Yeah. Yeah, so ever since episode 300, I've been taking certain liberties. I'm going to try out doing three topics, and I'm just going to talk my ass off. Really. I mean, I wrote a few things, but I want to see how it goes, man. It all comes down to, I want to see how it goes and how I feel at the end of this after I hit publish or after I stop recording or after I stop talking. All right. Okay. So first item, piece of randomness. I want to talk about beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up. And the only reason I bring it up is because the past few days, I don't know what's my problem. I've been going at it. It's like it's a habit. It's like, I don't know. Let's just say, man. If I was in a relationship with myself, well, technically I am. But if I was two separate people, right? I'd be calling. I'd be a victim of domestic abuse. That's what I'm trying to say. Been going at me and for all kinds of bullshit, and I don't know what that's about, but I just knew I needed to stop. And it's like a bad habit. I can't just go cold turkey. I need to figure out why I need to do it. I just know it's unhealthy. I'm going to make a quick reference. You know, when I, on last episode, I mentioned how I read the book 107 Days by Kamala Harris. And I, you know what was, it was not in that book? Well, before I get to that. So the book is about how the 107 days to the work she did for the election, and there were, you know, it was a journey. It was like, I was fascinated to hear the story. I recommend you listening to it. Excuse me. And she's a human being. That's what I liked about the book. One thing I like is she showed a human spine. She's a human being, and like any human beings, she even talks about some of the mistakes she might have made or some of the mistake that may have happened throughout the course. Now, here's where I get to what was it in the book. You know what she didn't talk about? The time she beat herself up. I think that's what fascinated me, and that's what the takeaway or the inspiration of it is. Like, mistakes would happen, but it would, like, you know, you fall and you get back up on your feet. And it was just like, she doesn't talk about how, yeah, and then it fucked me. It's one of those, she doesn't say it out. It's just something that I observed. It's like I found myself thinking about, hey, how many times did she talk about saying, yeah, and then this happened. And then I was like, fuck, I'm so stupid for not doing this. Or blah, blah. There was none of that. Now, I don't know if she just didn't put that in the book. But I'd like to think that people like that in her position don't have time to beat themselves up. Or they have like a radical acceptance of their humanity, and they know that, yeah, shit's gonna happen. And all you can do is pick up and get back up. Now, shout out to those of you who were raised with the notion of fucking up is the worst thing you can do. Like falling, don't fall, don't fucking fall. Don't you fucking dare fall. You fucking fell, you idiot. And I say this because it makes me think, and yes, one of the solutions for it is therapy. And my therapist introduced me to this concept. Actually, during her early days of therapy, she introduced me to this concept of reparenting yourself. And I remember the first time hearing that, I'm like, yo, I don't know if I should be paying you this kind of money if you're going to be telling me fucked up concepts like that. But later I figured it out. I was able to notice that when I beat myself up, it's very similar to the notion of, you know, being with parents who were like, yeah, don't you fucking fall, you idiot. Don't you fuck, you fucking fell. That's what you wanted to do, you idiot. And then bow, 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 you get beaten. Now, I'm not criticizing my folks because they grew up with that. They grew up with that shit. They didn't know any better. They, in their mind, that's how the world works. No one trained them to be a parent. Like, when they had a kid, all they can think about is, oh, man, I hope this kid does not a fuck up like I am. Things like that. You know, whatever, man. It's funny. If I were to have a kid, I don't know how I would work with, like, I'd probably be one of those liberal parents who'd be like, when they fuck up, like, no, there's no such thing as mistakes. Yeah, no, I'm not going to beat my child, whatever. I'd probably be the complete opposite of that spectrum. But for myself, yes, I'm working on it. And one of the on the many ways I've been beating myself up, and I saw that is I hate that feeling of this one is really, it's kind of interesting, the feeling of, I have this habit of giving people the benefit of the doubt. But sometimes I do it to an extreme. Like I'm telling myself I'm giving this person the benefit of the doubt, and then realizing that, no, you're just trying to avoid a conflict. No. Them motherfuckers are dissing you. And that used to be an old habit of mine, is I would just avoid conflict, and I'm telling myself, no, I'm being Christ-like. Just to be clear, this is during my ex-Christian days. I was telling myself I was being Christ-like. I was giving them the grace, extending them grace. But deep down inside, I just didn't want to have to put someone in their place. And anyway, so I've been getting better at, I was going to say, not tolerating disrespect, but more like pushing back. and being like, "Hey, y'all, when you did that shit, it did that. I didn't think that was cool." You know, you just try to say it's a being assertive. But you do it in a non-confrontational way. It's like, hey, you keep doing that, I'm gonna have to stab you in the jugular. You know what I mean? Cut that shit out. So I've been just getting better at it. But again, it's a habit. So every once in a while, the old habit will. I'm laughing at the story that I'm about to tell. So yeah, this realization about the bank. So yes, so. I was in a situation where someone did something I didn't like and I let it slide, knowing full well that, you know, fuck, you let it slide today and they running train on you. You know what I mean? And they're running a train, whatever. But I remember, because I couldn't figure out, I was so focused that I don't know how to explain to this motherfucker not to do that shit without looking like I'm attacking. Like, I remember, like, just overthinking it. So I remember, like, and so I was getting back into my old habits of, fuck it, I'll just let it slide. They didn't mean it that way. I'm the one who's tripping, everything like that. And then, you know, I go home, and then the real me kicks in and being like, yo, dude, you played yourself again. Fuck. And then that's where this motherfucker comes back, and then I'm beating myself up. And the reason I laughed earlier is because I had that realization that on one end, I'm angry at the person who did something I didn't like. I'm also angry at the fact that I didn't do anything about it. And my solution to this problem is beating myself up. So now I'm getting beat up by, first I have this motherfucker who did me wrong, and I'm gotten me angry at myself for allowing this motherfucker to do me wrong. And I remember there was times where I would like try to stop myself and being like, dude, you're fighting two fights right now. You're at war. Maybe the reason why you tolerate bullshit is because you beat yourself up and you tell yourself that, you know, you're not worthy of respect. Maybe that's why you got so comfortable with it. But I had to snap out of it. But anyway, it was bad. I couldn't stop. This motherfucker was like, I call my, I think you call it the inner critic. I call it Massa. I call it my Massa, because it comes at me like a fucking slave owner. Toby! Kunta Kinte! Toby! Kunta Kinte! All right, Toby, it is. All right. So yeah, Massa was on my ass. That's what I'm trying to say. It was riding me hard. And so of course I I Googled it, because that's what we do in this modern day. Looked it up. It's like, well, how do other people deal with their inner critic? How do people stop themselves from beating themselves up? Because stopping cold turkey is not working for me. And I just found this archive post on Reddit, the bro pill. I've never knew about this subreddit, right? And the asking for advice, and the question goes, how do I, you know what, instead of reading the question, I'll just go straight to the solution. It goes, a few suggestions. When you catch yourself, okay, hold on a second, let me just make the fonts a little big. Yeah, I'm at that age, gang, where I have to increase the fonts on shit. Ooh, that's too big, come on. No, I'm blind. All right, okay, a few suggestions. Three of them goes, when you catch yourself being harsh to yourself over a mistake, stop and ask yourself if you treat a friend that way. Yeah, my therapist told me that. If your bro made the same mistake, would you berate him like you're berating yourself? Then try to treat yourself the way you would treat a friend. Now, what I liked about that suggestion, at first I was like, yeah, I heard this already. But it forced me to think about what's causing you to be angry at yourself. What's causing you, what exactly is your inner parent or Massa like beating you to death for? Is Massa beating you for? And it hit me, it's the I didn't push back. And if it was a friend, I would be like, Oh, you're angry at yourself because a motherfucker. Well, I mean, I would like. Okay, wait. Who? Well, my first thing will be like, wait, who disrespected you? Let me go handle it. Now, you, I'll go fuck him up, but you need to stop beating yourself up for it. All right. Second goes, replace self-deprecation with ironic aggrandizement. I can't read this word. Aggrandizement. All right. Hooked on phonics. Fuck it. Self-aggrandizement. I see the word grandizement. Okay, particularly when speaking aloud. After a mistake, instead of "I'm such an idiot," consider clearly I am the Einstein of my generation. That actually hit. I actually like that one. I'm the Einstein of my generation. Meaning you might as well go the other extreme. If you say it out loud flippantly, you'll get a laugh. No one will take you seriously and think, No one will take you seriously and think you're being actually arrogant. It'll come off like acknowledging your error with a joke. But also, you'll be interrupting that vicious self-deprecation habit, and it'll be easier to be gentle with yourself. And the last one is, instead of comparing yourself to others and judging yourself for falling short, compare yourself to yourself. Amen. So you aren't where you want to be. Well, you're closer than you were yesterday, last week, last year. Did I read that right? Well, are you closer than you were yesterday, last week, last year? Progress is progress, even if it's slow. Remember, when you see other people who seem to be far ahead of you, that you don't know where they started or what advantages they had to make it easy for them. You know what? That's actually my challenge for both comedy and podcasting. The urge to want to compare myself to others. And they finish it off with this is also an area where seeing a therapist would almost certainly be helpful. They can help you sort out where your self-hate is coming from and help you learn more effective ways to motivate yourself to make material improvements in your life. Now, after I read this, I found myself journaling, just writing that little bit. So it's the journaling and getting more specific where that hatred was coming from, and it actually helped, gang. And that's it, man. That's about it, man. I feel like sure. You know what? Okay, it's funny. Like I said, this my target audience are people who apply to everyone, but not themselves. They're kind. You're very likely show kindness to the rest of the world, but not yourself. So, what I was going to ask is, how do you stop yourself from beating yourself up, or do you just let it go? I have a friend, man, they beat themselves up like a motherfucker. And the irony is, if they catch you beating yourself up, they'll find ways to... Oh, you know, I didn't look at it that way. They'll be applying these things for you. Nah, man, you're just being too hard on yourself. Nah, man, and stuff like that. So I'm thinking, it's like an addiction, I guess. It's like an addiction. But yeah, how do you do it? How do you stop yourself if you do? And if you don't, I can't tell you to stop doing it, but I mean, have you figured out why you do it? There we go. That's the two questions. Remember, shutuppodcast.com is the website. Shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. All right. That's it. Stop beating yourself up.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. How long have I been talking? This next one was going to be the main topic. I... It's okay. You've probably heard this quote before, and it goes, I've been thinking a lot about this. This was going to be the feature thought of today, and I'll explain why, but it's not. John Steinbeck once said that socialism never took root in America because the poor see themselves not as an exploited proletarian, but as temporarily embarrassed millionaire. Ronald Wright. So I'm confused. Is Ronald Wright quoting John Steinbeck or whatever? Okay, so the quote belongs to John Steinbeck. But I want to stick to this temporarily embarrassed millionaires. First, let me make sure. Okay, what triggered this post is, what reminded me of this post is Dr. John Paul from the Black Fat Fam podcast. They had posted something on Threads. And essentially, I forget the actual quote. I'm not going to look it up because the quote reminded me of the notion that, yo, us average folks, us middle class, whatever the fuck, if you're not a billionaire, if you're not the rich, we all, I'm going to say all, most of us, if not all, have more in common with the homeless or the houseless or the panhandler than we do with billionaires. And I was thinking there's a video going around that was deleted, and of this woman, she was like, so in the States, there, you know, there's a government shutdown and there's a thing called SNAP. I guess it's some kind of welfare, is the word, or I say welfare, but I don't mean like some government assistance, excuse me, some kind of government assistance program. And that's I think it's fucked up. So in the United States, they have a government shutdown and people aren't getting paid and government assistance has been put on hold. And it's like, how the fuck are people supposed to make a living? How are supposed to survive in this concrete jungle? It's fucked up, man. United States is a different kind of monsters. I remember when I was a teen, I used to think the United States was the greatest place on earth and forgetting that I was Canadian. And now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Nah. And I'm not just talking about healthcare, but I mean, just like the lack of empathy, the lack of what the, whatever. Okay, so yeah, there's a video going around. I saw it today, and it's c'est enrageant, man. I don't know how to say enrageant in English, but it's unnerving. Like, I wanted to fight someone, and it's this woman. She's, like, eating peanut butter toast, and she starts, it's like, so what happened to all you people who had to, your SNAP benefit? Essentially, she's mocking people who rely on, there's a lot of videos like that, people who mock people for being, who rely on government assistance. I saw this shit in The Wire. What's a lot of things that's forgotten is people think that it's people without jobs who rely on government assistance. No, there's people with jobs who rely on government assistance. It's anyway, so her video is pretty much, she was doing the oh, you welfare recipients, get a job, like that bullshit. Like, it's essentially complete lack of complete disregard for people's humanity. Just be like an off terrible. It kills me, man. And this is why I'm sticking to three topics, because I'm ranting. I didn't put it down on paper. I'm just going like off the cuff right now, right? And it's shit's making me emotional. Like, I wish this lady or people like her had that same energy for the corporations, for the billionaire who are literally scamming the country, who are like making, like, to them, it's like, you guys are suckers. When Donald Trump bragged about how he doesn't pay tax, he goes, because I'm smart. And some people are like, high-five them. Yeah, man, you got to game the system. That's how we work. Yeah, you got to play. He's actually making fun of the fact that, yo, y'all ain't on my, like, I got the kind of money to do shit like that. You guys, You motherfuckers go to work, pay your taxes, and I take advantage of that shit. Like, I wish people like that. This is why this class war is, we're losing this class war. Because a whole bunch of us are convinced that, yes, I'm on the side of the billionaire because why? I'm one of them. Well, not right now. What's that word that John Steinbeck said? No, because I'm a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. You know, I'm just broke this temporarily. But once I, you know, once I get this scratch off ticket, once I win this, once I get the winning lottery numbers, once my, once I marry XYZ, once I do this, once I follow my dreams and hustle till I die, once these billionaires start trickling down that money, I'm gonna be one of them. Once my oh, this is my favorite one. Once my once my SoundCloud mix hits, gets in the right hand. Once I become an actor, once I become one of a celebrity, I'm gonna get paid. A lot of motherfuckers believe that shit. Oh, right. I was in the middle of explaining. That's why we're losing, because a bunch of motherfuckers are convinced that your enemy is the person struggling with you. It's like, I'm emotional, gang. I'm really angry as I speak about this shit. And now, not to be a hypocrite, I mean, it is what it is, but I remember when I finished college, and it was during the dot-com era, and I remember believing that, yo, I'm going to be like all them, because I went into IT, and everybody went into IT, and I was convinced that I was going to work for the right small company. They're going to get bought, and I'm going to get rich off stock options or some shit like that. Because that's what the trend was. But there was this belief that, oh, I was buying a self-help book, follow your dreams and all that shit, and stick to your dreams. And my dream was to be rich. And sure, the right thing was, you know, find your passion. And from your passion is, sorry, I'm thinking of this woman. She got in trouble for saying, what was it again? Don't work your job your work, some shit like that. But I think the point she was trying to make is find a job that you love, that brings out the best in you. And then that which is, like, I agree with that. But the reality is, the unfortunate, or however you want to call it, the reality is, not everyone is going to get paid following their dreams. I got lucky by going into IT. I don't know how I would have survived being one of those people who went into a field that passion that gave them passion, and then get on the job market and you're not working within your field. I lucked out. I thank the universe. I should write that down. Every time I have my gratitude journal. I lucked out. Stop bitching, B-Black. All right, I'm looking at the time. I just realized I can talk. Anyways, yeah, during my younger days, I was a strong believer in, yo, you either work or you starve. It's that simple. Again, I was young. And where I'm going with this, right, is what I should say is what I really wanted to do was brainstorm, but I guess I should write this shit down. Brainstorm on ways to, how do you attack that belief? No, you're not a temporary embarrassed millionaire. You're like one paycheck away of a disaster. Just all it takes is one paycheck. There's people who rely on government assistance. Look, there was a time where I remember I was in the government, and I was in a toxic work environment. And it was so bad that I found myself admiring the houseless, the panhandlers, looking at them, like getting my brains working, like, okay, can I survive doing that? It was so bad that I was thinking on quitting my job and being like, fuck it. I'm going to live on the streets. And what I'm saying is there are people who are paying. It's not that they don't want to work. Some of them had great jobs, and some of them are just something clicked. They lost it. Like, I'm not saying they chose to be there, but something happened causing them to be on the streets. An unfortunate situation. Look, man, this capitalistic system, sure, a whole bunch of us are like able to survive, but there are a few casualty stories out there. You know what? That reminds me. There's a book that I, what's it called? J.L. Covey recommended it. Something about we shouldn't live like this and how easy it is to end up a casualty story. I still remember, there was this one year where there was a epidemic of houselessness. Is that it? People were talking about how, yeah, they were living at friends' couches because they couldn't afford rent, couldn't find a place. Look, I'm grateful to have been. I guess I'm grateful for this mindset of knowing that I'm not a temporarily embarrassed billionaire. Am I reading that right? He said billionaire, but I'm not temporarily. And part of when I was thinking of part of the reason why I started this episode with how'd the line go? He goes, because, yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers, but something must have got in us because all of us turned to sinners. I was thinking about all these rap songs that, I swear, they had me convinced that, y'all, flip some bricks, you'll be rich. money, cash. I remember when rappers had me convinced that, yo, start your own record label. Find the right artist or get signed by Def Jam or whatever the fuck, and you'll be rich. You'll be one of them. You'll be like, I was watching those rap videos being like, one day that's going to be me. And the world doesn't work that way. I remember when I played the lottery being convinced that, yes, I know if you don't play, you don't win. I understand that. But I remember playing it. And this was during my Christian days, and I put in a whole bunch of religious numbers in there, and I was convinced that yes, the Lord wants this for me, and then I wouldn't win. I'd be pissed off. I'd be like, I took that shit personally. Like it wasn't like healthy. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck, God? What the fuck? I put your birthday on this shit. How do I not fucking win? I put Jesus' birthday in there. I put the number 3. I put the number 7, 13. What the fuck? Anyway, yeah, it was really unhealthy. But I remembered, like, it's like I was entitled to winning. I don't know. This whole consumerism and shit like that, it's, I'm talking right now because I realize I don't have a conclusion how to wrap this up. It's just, I guess you can't go out of their belief. You can't. If someone holds on to a belief, there's ain't shit you can do about it. But I don't know how to convince another human being that, yo, homeboy, homegirl, you got way more in common with the person on the street than you do with Jeff Bezos. Fuck that. Them niggas are laughing at you. They'll say shit like, yeah, get on my level. Get on my level. Please. Even if you get close, I'm robbing you. Anyways, all right, that's it. Okay, let's take I'm gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about Pierce Brown. How Pierce Brown may potentially have broken my heart. Now, initially, like I said, the previous topic of being a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. Maybe that should be the title, is what's going to be the topic. But, okay, this is what happened, gang. On the previous episode, I talked about how I was praising the book, the Red Rising Saga. And I, well, first I'm going to say that I finished the book. But yesterday, actually, no, 2 days ago, so I published, praised the book. The next day, I wake up, scrolling on online, and someone posted in the Red Rising subreddit about how Pierce Brown forwarded sort of reel of Charlie Kirk clip. The insinuation is that he's a fan of Charlie Kirk. And I'm like, no. Well, here's the thing. The post didn't have a lot of details. It just showed him, but it didn't show that it was reposted by Pierce Brown. Right? I'm like, nah, man. But then my instincts kicked in. I'm like, fuck. It reminded me of every time I share a quote by a white person and I joked about, I should Google this person in case they said some racist shit. And I'm like, ha, 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 ha. But part of me meant that shit. So, oh, right, I forgot to say. So, somewhere in the comment, someone talked about how, yeah, Pierce Brown is like a notorious Zionist. I'm like, please don't make it so. So, I Googled it. Again, I'm saying allegedly because I only found one reference. It was a post on one. I don't want to believe it. It's, okay, I'm in denial, but yes, there was one reference, one person, one post on Instagram, and it says that, and I guess it's a account dedicated to exposing writers who are Zionists. And sorry, I'm laughing. Excuse me. I'll explain why I'm laughing in a second. But I, yeah. So according to this account, homeboy is a Zionist, but that's the only reference I could find. And I'll tell you what, two reasons why this breaks my heart. Wait, first, let me acknowledge that I finished the book. I won't take that away from him. You know, it's a fucking amazing series. And here's where the butt comes in. Is now I tell you, one of the reasons why it breaks my heart is because when I said read the book, I mean the audiobook. And the first book, the one that I got is Red Rising. The narrator or the person reading it had an Irish accent. So I figured either, I assumed homeboy was Irish. And this is why this part, him being Irish, is important, because the main character, no, this won't, there won't be any spoilers. The only spoilers is that I love the book. I will avoid spoilers, but there won't be any spoilers. Because trust me, man, it's one of those books that you, don't spoil it. There's a lot of like, it's a great, some motherfucking great storytelling, man. Like, to the point that in the last episode I was talking about, oh, I understand you book readers right now. I get it. And so, yeah, the audiobook was narrated by dude with an Irish accent, and I thought Pierce Brown was Irish. And the reason why that's important is because the main character it's about goes through, is part of, the word they use is caste system. The first time I've heard that, someone explained from India explained to me, yeah, we have a caste system. So what the fuck is it? Like a body caste? Like you broke your arm? Shit? No. Caste system. Like, how do you explain a caste? Look, as a black person, I'm used to the social hierarchies. White and everyone else. And the rest at the bottom. Right? And the way they describe oppression was like universal. It's like, I remember reading going like, this motherfucker gets it. It reminded me of when I read the audiobook again of Viktor Frankl. What's his book? Viktor Frankl. Stephen Covey used to talk to him about it. Viktor Frankl. Men's Search for Meaning. Right? Great book. There's a part where Viktor Frankl, he's a Holocaust survivor, and there's a part where he described, just a writer, he describes being in a concentration camp. And the way he describes human suffering, pain, and all that shit, I remember feeling the same thing I felt when Alex Haley described Kunta Kinte being in a slave ship. Spoiler alert. well, being like, duh. it's about an African, a dude who was kidnapped from Africa and ends up being a slave. So yeah, slave ship is involved and whatever, right? But I remember feeling that same Is it discomfort? That unease? Like disgust? It's like the empathy was like 100 alert. It's like I remember feeling the same thing. I was like, yes. It was like I felt like a human being was reaching out and describing human suffering. I connected to that shit. So yes, so when I initially thought the author of Red Rising was Irish, I'm like, yes, because I know you Irish suffered. Y'all went through some shit. I can't describe all of it, but I know because this is why they relate to the plight of what's going on in Palestine. It's like, no. We've seen these patterns. We've had that shit happen to us. Fucking South Africa is jumping in. Anyways. So now to find out. Okay, so I looked up Pierce Brown. I remember looking it up and looking up Pierce Brown. And my first thought was, the first thing I noticed about the guy was, he's young. I didn't pay attention to the fact that, so he's not Irish. He's from Denver, Colorado. Why did I think he was from Texas? I heard him speak. He had that accent. He had strong American accent. He's from Denver, Colorado. The first thing I noticed is that he was 37. I remember thinking, damn, what the fuck am I doing with my life? How did this mom? Like, I was convinced, you didn't write that book. God did. Anyway, so, Denver, I was stuck on his age, but now, Zionist, Denver, Colorado, and it's like, fuck, man. It's like finding out this love song that you enjoyed, and it's like, I've never had my heart broken. I broke hearts. I was the one doing the heartbreaking. But how are we able to relate? It's the idea that this motherfucker is just good at lying, I guess, or faking. It's heartbreaking, man. The shit bummed me out. Now, to those of you going, the fuck's wrong with being a Zionist? Okay, I'm not going to spend my time to explain to you what's wrong with being a Zionist. I am going to say, though, fuck, I kind of wish you just left me the fuck out of it. You want to be a Zionist? Cool. Leave me out of your fucking world. How the fuck can you talk about, who are you thinking about? I think I mentioned this. It's like, look, the Zionist is not a problem. You know, the word is, the big through line about being a Zionist is, yo, we just want a safe place for Jewish people. That's cool. My problem is at what cost? Starving fucking children? Nah, man. What the fuck? How do we not get on? How can we not, as a human race, agree that, yo, no fucking with kids. I know you at war and shit, but no repeating the same shit that was used to take this continent. I've yet to meet a Zionist who was able to make their case without denying the humanity of Palestinians. There was no way. There was every argument they made, it was like it neglected the fact, but you know you're talking about people, right? You know you're talking about human beings. Yeah, I know you went to war and won. Yeah, I know all that shit. But it doesn't deny the I think I spend a lot of my time on this planet thinking too much on how shit should be as opposed to how they are. Maybe that's what separates us. Imagine a world where conflicts could be resolved through with words. No wars, no whatever. Imagine, you know, I Googled, I was going to read it. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I was going to read this as, I found myself just thinking about how are countries created? And it started with that thought. Okay, actually, here's my train of thought. I was watching a video of a woman singing the national anthem of Jamaica, and the point of her singing the national anthem was her saying, pray for Jamaica because of Hurricane, was it Melissa? Anyway, so she was singing, and I found myself thinking, do every country need to have a national anthem, or is that a white thing? Whatever. And then from there, I'm like, what does it take to start a country? Can I start a country? And of course, I fed that in AI. I've likely killed a part of the environment for this simple query search. And and then that search led to, has there ever been a country that's been formed without violence and bloodshed. Fucking AI laughed at me. He's like, what the fuck? Nigga, do you know who you are? Whatever, man. And even the example, like there are examples of like, well, what about these guys? They shook on it, but even before there was like, whatever. Anyway, so, and I remember reflecting, what does that say about us as a species? Sometimes I think Zionists are like, yo, every country has been formed through violence. What makes us different? Fuck it. We're the conquerors, they're the conquered. Fuck it. You know what I mean? What the fuck? That shit's been done this way. Why y'all mad at us? It's always been that way. And I'm like, and that's what's fucked up, man. And in the book, okay, I'm getting emotional. What's fucked up is in this book, okay, no spoilers. In this book is it deals with the theme of conquest, of oppression, of groups taking over. And, you know, part of why I read the book was to escape from this. That's what it is, man. I think Pierce Brown denied me from this shit, man. I was reading this book to escape this harsh reality. You know, I think I'm going to take up, fuck books, man. I'm gonna start taking up drugs. Fuck it. I read this book to escape reality. Give me a beautiful stories where the hero has ideals, principles, and shit like that. A whole bunch of unrealistic shit that I can buy into it. Gang, it was a fucking great journey. It was a tough journey. There was a few, because there's parts where the hero gets his shit kicked out of him, and it bothered me as, you know, as a highly sensitive person. I'm like, oh, fuck, Jesus Christ. Two more chapters of this shit and whatever, man. And fuck. I think this is just me trying to make sense, accept how life is. It's so when I found out about Homeboy being a Zionist, I remember thinking, fuck it, man. I'm just gonna read the spoilers. I'm not gonna read the book. Shout out to my friend who recommended the book. He's like, nah, you're gonna finish the book and whatever, man. So I ended up finishing the book. I binged that shit. It was a great binging. So I was thinking about the person who posted, or someone who posted, it's like, yeah, you buy Pierce Brown's book, you just gave money to the Zion. I'm like, fuck, great. Now I got blood on my hands. Anyways, oh, the last point I'm gonna make is, and I wrote this, is like, be black. I'm 50 years old. I'm too old to allow myself to be disappointed by white people. This shit always happens. Like, you know, it's like white people like to see themselves as ideals, as opposed to, yeah, just erase all the bad shit we did. And just, we're no different than the rest of you. Deep down is, I gotta be scared. This is a healthy dose of skepticism. The next time, I think this is probably why I didn't do quotes today. Because I didn't want to share a quote and then find out that, oh, this motherfucker's a racist. Oh, fuck, this motherfucker's a Zionist. I mean, it's the world we live in. Who knows? I mean, the motherfucker who made this microphone probably beats his wife. You know, it's hard to be positive in this world, man. It's hard to, like, keep your head up. That's really what it's about. I think this is I'm thinking of making all of us turn to sinners. It's my way of saying we ain't shit. No, I'm really being negative. I know. I'm really being, I acknowledge that I'm being a cynic or whatever, or I'm being described as a cynic, and I can't argue against it. But it's, I think the bottom line, when if I go with the title "All of Us Turn to Sinners," it's my way of saying we ain't shit. Sure, there's some people doing good things, but what you're hearing right now is a song cry. I'm making this podcast cry. My heart's broken. That's really what it's about. I really hope, maybe, who knows? Maybe Pierce Brown might be like, okay, all right. Because there was a lot of people after October 7th, I forget the year, who are like, man, who were like how I was after 9/11. Man, fuck that. And then after, they took the time to be like, yeah, you know what? Man, the whole killing kids, starving people, and denying them aid, it's kind of fucked up. Not in my name, sure. I should be focusing on those people, not in my name. But it's hard. It's hard to be positive. I forget what the lyric go, how the lyrics go. But anyways, on that note, this concludes. Oh my God. Oh, this could damn spit back my jaw. Sorry. I could beat my mouth. Sorry. No, that's wow. That's a Creole expression to me. I could talk a lot. This concludes today's episode. Quick reminder that this podcast is, shutuppodcast.com is the website, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast was a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? Do you stand out? Do people think you're weird? Welcome to my club. This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, that's a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.